Kevin Pollak here. What's that? Yes, A Few Good Men is on every 48 minutes. But I'm here with exciting news. I've got a new comedy podcast called Alchemy This. Folks, laughter does cure what ails you, so give us a listen and you'll feel better. In each episode of Alchemy This, I'm the puppet master who sets the scene, and then five genius improvisers and I will make you laugh and feel better. That's Alchemy This. Listen and follow on the iHeartRadio app or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Let's get it started.
Mike Costa.
Oh, no. You know.
And Judson Richards.
You wonder why Costa makes the big bucks. No one can reenact a great sports moment like you.
Here's Costa and Judson.
Yeah, on a Wednesday on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego. Good morning to everybody out there. If you thought that Hard Knocks would be the start to the football season, we were all wrong. In fact, it'll probably feel more like tomorrow night with a full slate of games. Why? Because, in my humble opinion, Costa, that was a dud.
What did you text us? That was an F after you saw it last night.
That's not at all what I text.
I thought it was.
That was an F. That'll be a weird text, man.
You said that Gruden effed us.
Now that sounds more like it.
Yep, that's right.
Yep. That sounds a lot like it.
You said effing F, dude. Gruden effed us. And I responded, now that we know head coaches have the final say, it's the beginning of the end for this show. And you replied, a bingo.
You ain't kidding. Hey, just a reminder, we are in the middle of our training camp tour. We're going around to every city, talking about every single team. At 6:30, we'll talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Amy Trask, the former, would you give me the title of Amy Trask, please? The former title, what is it again?
She was CEO of the football team.
Right. Yeah, of the Oakland Raiders.
There was Al Davis, and then next was Amy Trask.
She the princess of darkness?
That's what they call her.
Yes.
But you talk about a lady who is dialed in, who knows her stuff, and probably knows a hell of a lot more about football than a lot of quote-unquote football experts out there.
Right.
It's Amy Trask.
Including us and Amy Trask.
Without a doubt.
At 7:30. Look forward to talking about her time with John Gruden.
Yeah.
The first go-round.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll dive into the Raiders with Amy Trask at 7:30, 8:15. Our buddy Matt Snyder, CBS Sports.
Matty!
How close is Fernando Tatis Jr. in the running to become Rookie of the Year? We have a loaded show, 844-570-1360. Text us, 70470. Now, you going back over my text message, Costa, and Florch, good morning to you, my friend.
Morning, boys.
What's How up? Are you, buddy?
Hey, Benny.
I'm going to blame Florch for my overreaction text messages.
I kind of liked Hard Knocks.
Well, I may have just built it up way too much, right? I may have just thought this was going to be, mainly because you told me, they have to do the Raiders. They have to do the Raiders. And I was like, it's not going to happen. They're going to do it next year.
Yes.
Then they did the Raiders. Psh, mushroom cloud. This is going to be the greatest thing ever. And then I'm like, this is actual audio from Hard Knocks.
It was. When there was they did the little preview. Anybody who's a card-carrying member of the Raider Nation, like myself, we know what the poem "The Autumn Wind Is a Raider" is all about. And that was
cool.
It was written by Steve, the late great Steve Sable. It was voiced by the late great John Facenda, and I think it was Lev Schreiber who kind of voiced a couple lines of it in the preview to the what they ran before.
Yes, they did.
And you're kind of like, well, why don't you just have Facenda doing it, you know? And as we know, they went back to, God, how many years ago with John Madden and the seven-man sled and that excerpt from the show. Judson, I will tell you, I was waiting for it to kind of shift into that Hard Knocks gear last night, albeit it is the first episode. Maybe next week it's going to be a lot better. I gave it a B-, and I think it almost felt like they were searching for something to show us in last night's episode.
You know what? I would agree with that wholeheartedly. I was listening to Mike Hill and Steve Hartman on Extra 1360 on Sunday. They were doing the Fox Sports national show together, and they were talking about the length of the Hall of Fame speeches. Because they are averaging over 30 minutes, the length of the speeches for the Hall of Fame inductees.
Yeah, Tony Gonzalez went almost 40.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Good Lord. So, and that's, you know, it's It's a long time. And so they were talking about how to rectify this, how to fix the situation. And I thought Mike Hill had a great idea. He was like, how about you just wait till later that evening or the next day and Sports Talk Radio will play you the best clips. We'll play you the 30-second clips.
Yeah.
So for those of you out there who do not have HBO,
right,
did not watch Hard Knocks, we're really doing you a solid because we've got a few clips.
A few.
That you didn't have to see it. You may enjoy it more if you watch it and you get to kind of know what the pictures look like. But I may apply that theory of Mike Hill's to Hall of Fame to Hard Knocks. It's like, no, we'll just play you the best parts and then we'll converse about what is most interesting about this episode and save yourself whatever it costs.
So
I don't
what
know,
you're saying,
I have a friend's login and password.
If I get this correctly, what you're saying is Hard Knocks really could be just a 15-minute show.
Yes. Or an 8-minute segment if we wanted to chop it down even much.
Yeah, there was, and we'll get into it here in a couple of minutes. There were some light moments. There were some fun moments. They do a good job of kind of letting you get to know the guy behind the face mask.
Right.
But again, it was really lacking for that. It did not pack that normal first episode Hard Knocks punch.
No, it didn't. And in fact, here's the way I feel about last night's episode in Hard Knocks. It was so dull that reading about the verbal spat between Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson on Twitter after the episode was more interesting than the actual new episode of Hard Knocks. For example, here's what Todd Haley said recently about Hugh Jackson and Hard Knocks. Quote, he'd come up to me in practice and say, wait till you see Hard Knocks. He was like, wait till you see what's on this week. I was like, what are you talking about? You're spending time watching that instead of figuring out how to get the team to win? He reveled in it.
Boom! Oh, that is a shot.
Oh, my
goodness.
And
that is a shot that's been like a year in the making.
Oh, yeah. Hugh Jackson's been talking a ton of trash about that scene, obviously the one at the table.
Right.
And Hugh Jackson can't believe people's reaction. Because he was like, if my record was different, then they'd respect me in a place of power.
No.
He acknowledged that he was 1-31, and we didn't respect that.
Well,
shocking.
The reaction last year from that episode was overwhelmingly, Hugh, what are you doing?
Right. But that's what made the great television. That's the problem that we have here.
Yeah.
That's why my text said what it said.
You're not.
Gruden screwed us because he said, you can do the Raiders. If I have final say, you're getting 0-0 interesting content.
And
that's exciting.
I think there was something to John Gruden.
Gruden screwed us.
And the fact that, you know, the NFL makes you have to do this show. And it's like, Mike, come on, it's our last season in Oakland. We're really trying to get this thing turned around. And now you're going to throw this on top of us. Okay, well, you're going to make us do it. You're going to get vanilla ice cream every single dinner. After dinner dessert, it's going to be vanilla ice cream.
Which is what I felt like. And I think there's one other issue as well we can get to with Antonio Brown. But now the opening scene made me think, like the opening scene had me lean forward in the couch.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's like, you know, hand rubbed together.
Here we go.
Here we go. This is going to be good. This was the opening scene of Hard Knocks.
Everybody right now has dreams, don't they, guys? I said it to the rookies. All right, everybody in the NFL, I have a dream of making it in the NFL. I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. You guys with me on that? You got to end somebody's dream. You got to take their job. You got to take their heart. Are you guys clear about this NFL now? We're not trying to go to the Peach Bowl. We're not trying to go to the Gator Bowl or the Blue Bonnet Bowl. We're trying to go to the Super Bowl, okay? And to do that, you got to really try to end somebody's dreams. Are you clear on that, Farrell? Okay? I mean that now. So get into that.
I mean, that was, you know, there was obviously some expletives in there.
A little bit.
I watched with Lauren. This was a big vent. I was like, we're watching this tonight. This was a big thing. And when he was like, I'm trying to be an effing nightmare. She was like, I don't know if she thought there was going to be swearing.
Well, first off, there's no longer the Blue Bonnet Bowl. But anyhow, I think
you caught his drift.
Yeah. That was that's John Gruden. And that's not John Gruden knowing the Hard Knocks cameras are on him. I think that's who John Gruden is.
Really, John Gruden 10 years Monday Night Football, making millions and millions as a TV star.
I don't think so.
Didn't know a camera was present.
No.
Costa, come on, man.
No.
You can't be this big a homer.
No, I think that is Gruden getting the message to this football team that it has to absolutely be different from this point on.
No, I thoroughly enjoyed the speech. I get his point. Like,
he didn't turn to the camera and wink afterwards.
Please. They may have just edited out because it would have been so damn cheesy. But it was, listen, I enjoyed his speech. Like, that's what the game of football should be built about.
Yeah.
Not, you know, baseball has kind of that, like, Roy Hobbs, the natural feel to it, where it's like, I'm chasing the dream. Like, dad threw batting practice to me. The NFL needs to be more Richie Incognito. Like, yeah. Like, I'm going to put a baseball bat through my Ferrari because I'm a freaking psychopath.
You want to be the football team that the guys the Saturday night before you play them are going, OF.
Yep.
I am going to get my face punched in at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
By the way, if you want to weigh in, 844-570-1360. You can text us 70470. Begin with XTRA. Good morning, everybody out there. If you didn't see it, don't worry. We're bringing you the few good pieces. That was actually last night's episode.
And we're hoping to God there's going to be a lot more next Wednesday.
Let's hear how good this audio is. Antonio Brown, his kids are adorable, man. This beautiful was their conversation.
Children. Daddy, why are you not on the black team, Daddy?
I am on the black team. Daddy just got to wait to practice. You ready to see me work or what?
Why are you not running today?
Daddy's still, feet still sore. Come
on. Where's Rutherford?
Huh?
Where's Rutherford?
He's playing with the Steelers. I quarterback Derek now. We don't play with Roethlisberger no more. We play with the Raiders.
Daddy,
we play with Derek Carr. That's my quarterback. You know his name? What's his name?
Derek Carter?
Derek Carr.
Now where's him, Daddy?
He's over there, number four.
First
Derek
off.
Derek Carter, the quarterback of the Oakland Raiders.
Where's Roethlisberger? When I heard that, I went, did she or he say Roethlisberger? Kids, you're not in Kansas anymore. First off, the children have a dope-ass water slide set up at Antonio Brown's house. Big, massive inflatable thing. Envious right off the bat.
Yeah, I wish I was there instead of watching the episode.
That was hysterical. And he's got all his little ones with me, and they're all putting on their cleats ready to, you know, but asking Daddy why he's not on the field.
Oh! Yeah. And then, of course, the running joke that I saw about a dozen times last night, it's like Antonio Brown pretty soon is also going to be asking, where's Ben Roethlisberger?
I saw that as well.
Because he really did talk himself out of being with a Hall of Fame quarterback who, whether you love him or not, always puts up the numbers and always puts the ball where it needs to be put versus Derek Carr, where a lot of people are not sure. And they somewhat addressed it right there in the open about what John Gruden thinks of Derek Carr. They also said Derek Carr had thick skin last night, which he had known to be a thin-skinned guy.
He had oiled-up skin.
Yeah, that
which was
something.
If you didn't see it, he comes out on the practice field, and his red jersey sleeves are rolled up to the shoulder, and his arms are just glistening. And you're thinking, wow, he's really got a lather going already. No, he says he put on some oil sunscreen. And the tight end who he's warming up with said, just basically, did you oil up your arms when you came out here?
Yeah, he's odd. He does look like he has eyeliner. He's a bit, to me, he seems like he's got little brother syndrome. He seems like he's a second rounder out of a smaller school of Fresno State, and he just isn't quite over it.
Judson, he
doesn't look like he feels like he belongs to me.
Yeah.
Playing, psychologist on the couch. He doesn't look real comfortable as a franchise quarterback.
Here's the thing with John Gruden and the relationship with Derek Carr. Gruden really hasn't gone over the top with the, hey, listen, Derek Carr is our quarterback. He's going to be our quarterback for a long time. He's going to be one of the great ones. He's this and he's that. Derek Carr almost has that look sometimes on his face, like he's looking over his shoulder. Is coach looking at me? Coach watching me? And now there was a time during a passing drill where Gruden's right there and he's saying, oh, Derek, great ball. You hear that type of thing. But Derek Carr, I think, for good reasons, is a little insecure about his job as the Raiders QB.
As he should be. Now, here's where I thought Hard Knocks was greatly exposed last night. I don't know about you two. I'm fascinated with what the hell's going on with Antonio Brown's feet.
Yeah.
It's like this. It's like a combination of a foot fetish and fantasy football.
Well, the very first scene.
Yeah, although they gave you zero news, which obviously Gruden wouldn't allow them. He was sitting on the ground with his socks off, with the bottom of his feet up in the air, and the camera would not show his feet.
They could have shown it. Was it a field in Florida where he was working out?
Yes.
With his trainer or a trainer? Yeah, and you could see he's trying to do some movements, and he'd go, So, yes, the feet are bothering the guy.
And documentaries are supposed to be newsworthy, right? Yeah. They're supposed to provide information on what you're watching it regarding, and they told us nothing about Antonio Brown. Here's John Gruden.
I have nothing new on that, no. I have no new news. He's gathering information, and I'll bring you up to speed when I know something. I'm not going to sit up here and speculate anymore.
We saw him practice. We saw him catch that long ball from Carr. We saw him dive for a couple of passes.
I don't know when it happened. There's not a lot of information on this. And then it was supposedly the cryogenic chamber. I think that's more of a rumor that's going around.
Frostbite.
Although it would make sense if he didn't wear the proper shoes in there.
Yeah.
That he just completely torched the bottom of his feet, or he froze them and then went and practiced through frozen feet.
Oh, my God.
Which I think why I love this storyline so much, because it's like, what the hell did you do to your feet?
Yeah.
But the question is, how long do you have to wait till it properly heal and then not cut and move so you're not cracking open the bottom of your feet?
Exactly. If you see the picture of his feet, you would assume, okay, well, the only way that's going to get better is just to...
Time
and not use them, mm-hmm. i.e.
Soak it
and sit, not out there running around, not even out there walking around in shells, even if he's not practicing.
Tatis was doing Tatis things again last night. We'll bring the audio in just a moment. My biggest takeaway.
Oh, boy.
My biggest takeaway from last night's episode of Hard Knocks, that Raiders roster sucks, man.
Wait, how can you say that? How can you?
Because it gave you a good idea of who's on the team.
You saw a couple of people. They highlighted Antonio Brown. They highlighted Derek Carr. We got a snippet of Richie Incognito. Wasn't talking about wanting his dad's severed head. You got to know the rookie from last chance.
So who's so great that they didn't show me besides Amari Cooper and maybe Josh Jacobs?
Well, Amari Cooper's not there anymore.
I'm sorry. That's right.
Yeah.
Khalil Mack's pretty good.
By the way... Amari Cooper, he's kind of the point I was making. I mean, who did they not show me?
But they have not played a game that you can't say their roster is terrible.
Tell me that episode last night didn't remind you that roster is crap.
But you can't say that the roster is crap.
It's young and not good.
It's young. It's young. We don't know if it's going to be not good, as you say. But there's a lot of guys on that team we haven't gotten to know and don't know about yet.
We don't know about them, meaning they've never had success in the NFL before.
Well, if they're a rookie or undrafted free agent, sure.
Fletch, that roster.
It's pretty garbage, man.
Go ahead.
So the super annoying guy, Jonathan Abrams, that kind of went back and forth with Gruden.
Oh, boy.
Daniel Jeremiah is so high on him. Said he might have been the best pick in the whole draft.
Okay, and listen, you see highlights of him in college. Yeah, there's a reason they took him where they did. But I don't think Jonathan Abrams did himself any favors last night. He came across as a cocky douche. And if I look at that, I'm sorry. And it hurts me to say that about one of my own. But... Dude, you just shut up.
Yeah.
No, just shut up.
Dude, he bugs. He bugs, but he is probably going to be one of the best parts of this team. Like, football is not for the well-adjusted, is the famous saying.
Yeah.
And Abram was a good reminder of that in yesterday's episode. But you can't tell me that you look at that team and go, they're ripe to have success in the AFC West.
I am not saying they are ripe to make a charge in the AFC West. I'm not saying that their whole roster is crap, though. Because it's not.
Will you say most of the roster?
I'll say some of it. Again, you still have many holes.
Is a better part of the roster unknowns or guys that you wouldn't think are going to lead you to a ton of success?
It's probably half and half. I don't think 75% of the roster is that way.
The saving grace for the season could be if they go into Josh Jacobs' story, because he does have an incredible story.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
And
so they got to go. They didn't even mention him in this episode.
No.
They got to go into that story.
Of course, if Gruden allows it.
And again, I think it's the beginning of the end for this program. Now that the cat is out of the bag with coaches having the final say on what we see, you're left to think, okay, well, what was left on the editing room floor? What juicier things were left than just Jonathan Abram, you know, fronting his coach and you know, not really getting the point Gruden's trying to make during the show last night? Like, hey, dude, stop hitting our own people. And instead of just going, you're right, coach, and walking away, he just kind of belabored the point.
I thought that was really the most interesting football stuff. And Gruden having the conversation with kind of the three veterans and linebackers.
Linebackers, you know, who kind of came to Abrams' defense. And Gruden makes a point, hey, they're starting a new league. You can go knock the S out of each other.
$800
for $800 a week. You guys go ahead and do that. Stop hitting our own guys.
Right.
So, about last night.
What the f*** happened last night?
Judson and Costa have this morning's trending topics.
Bouncing in and kicks away. Back to the backstop as Tatis is headed towards third base now. Throw goes there and he will be safe at third.
Fernando Tatis Jr., as we continue the list of things that he may do better than anybody else, he is, for my money, the best base runner in Major League Baseball. Not that I watch every other base runner, but I don't know I've seen a guy be as aggressive as Fernando Tatis Jr. and have the success that Fernando Tatis Jr. has, where he is constantly safe, whether he's tagging on a pop-up from third, you know, or continually to take the extra base from the extra base, it feels like. It's extra, like extra bases. He is constantly safe. Fernando Tatis Jr. chasing the Rookie of the Year. I hope he gets there. We're going to talk more about it in the 8 o'clock hour. And most importantly, Padres come away with a win. See that Barry Bloom article?
Yeah, on Andy Green and the fact that he's been given ample time and it's time to cut the cord and move on. Like we talked about yesterday, though, it's easy to scapegoat the manager. He's guilty of some things, certainly, but the overall collapse, the way this team has just come out of the second half of the season like they don't care, I don't know how much you can blame Andy Green for that.
Well, again, Barry Bloom, MLB.com. According to sources close to the team, he's lost the clubhouse.
Well, they're certainly playing like a team that the manager has lost. They're, you know, last night, Denelson Lamet carries the no-no into the seventh. There seems to be a little charge in the team. They win 9-4, but overall, the body of work, what we've seen in the second half so far. Yeah, Judd, I would say there's a good chance the message, whatever Andy Green is saying, is not computing with these guys.
How about according to sources that are on the team? Like, are they in proximity? Do they have property downtown?
Yeah, I can tell you, hey, I think Andy Green's lost the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Let's go with it.
Right. I mean, you could make that sentiment by watching Padre games.
Yeah, you don't need to talk to somebody about it. Just the proof is in the pudding, as they say.
Well, I also think he had a general manager that set him up to lose the team. I you know, do I think Andy Green is a great manager? No. Do I think he's the worst manager that's ever managed? No. I there's plenty of things I don't really understand about who Andy Green is, and I can see Andy Green get another opportunity after the Padres and potentially have success. But as of now, I think he's got a GM that, you know, the sugar cane chop is a celebration.
Uh-huh.
Well, that was really AJ Preller at the knees of
good point.
Andy Green.
AJ Preller is using Andy Green right now as a human shield.
Yes, he is.
He is taking all the slings, the bullets, the arrows, and AJ is just, you know, holding by the shoulders going, boo, boo, block mm-hmm. that one, I'll block that one.
Yeah.
Why would you get rid of that guy if he's the one most people are pointing at why the Padres suck?
Well, because at some point in time, the GM, and again, don't forget, AJ Preller's already been through two managers. So, AJ Preller, at least I would hope, if the next one doesn't work, it's no longer the manager's fault. It's the general manager's fault.
And you hope Fowler and Seidler certainly look at that. All right, how has the beginning of the Bruce Arians era gone so far in Tampa? Trevor Sikma from PewterReport.com will give us the latest on the
1360.
Shut up, Darren. You hit the ground running yesterday. You sounded like you hadn't been off at all. But so great to have Darren, Marty, Jim Ross, a little ham hawk, back in the building as well. Show
said
number
nobody.
Two today. At Show number two coming up here at noon on Extra. We continue our training camp tour. We're in the NFC South this week, and the Buccaneers finished last season 5-11. A new head coach in Bruce Arians. Can Jameis Winston continue to improve? From PewterReport.com, Trevor Sikkema with us here on Extra. Trevor, how has the Bruce Arians era been so far?
Ooh,
Well, you know, it's early. Obviously, only 2 weeks of training camp, so we've only able to see a little bit. I don't want to call them future Super Bowl champions yet. No, I'm just kidding. But it's been different. I mean, it's been different in good ways. It seems like the players are really reacting well to Arians and really the rest of that coaching staff's philosophy, because, you know, I thought that the old Bucs regime under head coach Dirk Cutter, I thought they were coaches that had the right intentions, that were hard workers, that were guys that really wanted to push their players. But for whatever reason, what they were teaching and how they were going about things in those game plans, it just didn't result the way that it needed to. And a lot of those struggles came on the defensive side, as they were truly one of the worst defensive teams in football. But this year, it seems very different. It just seems the way that the coaches are communicating with these guys, and you see it with how these younger players, even these first-year players, they already have a ton of confidence about them. Yeah, they're making some rookie mistakes here and there, but they're also making some splash plays. And that was not something that was happening with regularity last year. You saw rookies like Ronald Jones and Vita Vea, you know, not really be able to come into their own. It took Carlton Davis a lot to get for him to come into his own as well. Instead, this year you're seeing plenty of young guys, obviously Devin White, guys like Mike Edwards at safety, Sean Murphy Bunting at corner. These guys are all stepping up, and I think that's a big testament to this coaching staff, and that's why you really can expect this Buccaneers team, I think, to be more improved than what you might think just looking at the roster from a top-down standpoint. That whole coaching matters thing, I think it's going to come up, and you're going to see that in Tampa Bay.
Trevor, I don't think you mentioned his name, and will he be the name that absolutely decides what the season looks like in Jameis Winston?
Oh, of course. You know, it all rides on the quarterback, no matter what's going on around him. You know, you want to surround a team with the best supporting cast, with the best coaches, with a better defense, and things like that. But we know very good and well that quarterback is how this league comes and goes. And so Jameis Winston, going into his fifth year, they picked up his contract option, but he is a total unrestricted free agent after this year. There's no contract extension that was signed. And honestly, they need to see this last year from him. They have a lot of faith that Jameis Winston can be that guy for them, but he's got to put it all together. At some point, that potential, you know, that future franchise first round number one overall pick that they drafted back in 2015, I mean, it's got to come to fruition at some point. And there are many reasons that you could kind of pull off of Jameis and say, okay, you know, he didn't win because the coach wasn't quite right. He didn't win because the defense really didn't help him out. And all of those things may be true, but it's a wins and losses league. Y'all know this. And so that's kind of what it's got to come down to. He's got Bruce Arians now. He's got the best offensive weapon and coaching staff we can think. And so, yeah, it's all on him. He's got to be able to get it done.
Trevor Sikkema from PewterReport.com previewing the 2019 Buccaneers with us here this morning on Extra. Trevor, what would you say, what is the identity of this Buccaneers team? You mentioned that there has to be a lot of improvement on defense from last year. Offensively, are they going to be, you know, fireworks and be able to score from any point on the field? Or is Bruce going to try to grind it out a little bit early on with this team?
I think they're going to be aggressive on both sides of the ball. I really do. I think they are going to be an attacking football team, especially on that defensive side of the ball. We saw from defensive coordinator Mike Smith last year, he had his corners and defensive backs on their heels. They were sitting back 8 to 10 yards off the line of scrimmage, keeping everything in front of them, truly being the most bend but don't break defense that I ever saw. And they bended so far that it felt like they were breaking at times. They're blitzing all over the place in practice, up the A gap, off the edge, with safeties, with linebackers, with extra defensive linemen. They're bringing the pressure, and they're not going to be afraid to do what they need to do to win. And so when you talk about, you know, having a theme, what kind of the identity is going to be for this team, I really do think that it's going to be on both sides of the ball, doing what they need to do to win. Whether that's on offense, hey, maybe dialing up some throws that are more conducive to what Jameis does well, not having him throw to the sidelines as much, letting him attack over the middle a little bit, give the running backs a little bit more space and a different blocking concept. Or on defense, whether it is with heavy blitzes and saying, hey, we might not be an all-pro defense at every spot, but we're at least going to put pressure on the quarterback to make sure that we have a chance to get turnovers, to make some difference in the playbook, and really get some wins out of this. And so that's what I think. We're talking about an identity of the team, aggressive, and a team that is going to not be afraid to do what they need to do.
Trevor, has Bruce Arians led to you kicking the tires on whether or not you can pull off a Kangol hat?
Oh, my goodness. I don't think I could pull off a Hank Kangol hat, certainly as well as he can. You know, he's got a little less hair than I do, so
yeah.
it just points up to the style of the hat so much better than it would on me, so I wouldn't dare wear it around him. He'd probably show me up immediately.
Can someone get him some sunscreen?
He needs it, man. Now, I will say, he's got a stylish little golf cart he's running around in practice, and I tell you, there's not any coach with more style than Bruce Arians does when he slowly slides up in that golf cart up to the line of scrimmage to walk practice, but he's adapted to that Florida lifestyle pretty well.
Trevor, last one from us. You get the sense that the Glazer family realizes what they have in Bruce Arians, and they will give him all the time in the world and hopefully the tools to get this right and turn it around?
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, the Glazers are, you know, for as many mistakes as they made with certain coaching hires, they realize they're not necessarily football people. So when they hire a GM or a head coach, they really are pretty hands-off. They want them to run it. And I know it was a big talking point when they were hiring Bruce Arians because they weren't happy that he wasn't going to call plays because Byron Leftwich, the offensive coordinator, is going to be the one to call the plays. And so Bruce even said himself that was quite the conversation to have with the Glazers, that he wasn't going to call plays, and yet they still brought him in. They still thought that his presence, his leadership, his voice over this team would be worth it, even if he wasn't the play caller. I think Jason Light, the GM, agrees with that as well. I think the chemistry that they have, I think the draft was heavily influenced by a lot of what Arians wanted. And so all signs point to, yes, from the top down, that being the case, that this is really Arians' team. They're giving him full control. They're letting him do things the way that he wants to because they've seen this guy's been a former two-time head coach of the year. And so they want to make it a third time here in Tampa Bay. So they're giving him every chance to do that. They're not putting any kind of shackles on him. They're letting him run this team and really almost run this organization the way that he wants to, hoping they can get a lot more success than they've had in the last 10 years.
All you Bucks fans listening, pewterreport.com, all of the updated info. Trevor, really appreciate the time today, man. Great stuff. Enjoy the season.
Of course, guys. Anytime.
Thank you. There's Trevor Sikkema on the 2019 Buccaneers and Bruce Arians.
You know, it's something else that Bruce Arians back coaching the NFL. I don't know if you were there that day, but I remember, I think it was the Chargers last year in San Diego, and they had a joint practice.
Yeah.
At then Qualcomm, and I was walking past the locker room, and there was, EMT guys there.
Yeah.
And they were wheeling an empty,
gurney?
Yeah, they were wheeling an empty gurney. And you could, part of me was like, well, maybe they're just going out just because they're being paid to make sure everything's safe at practice. Somebody gets hurt. But you could tell that there was some scrambling going on. Like, something just, you can tell something doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
And that gurney was actually being brought to the locker of the Cardinals that Bruce Arians then got on and was taken to the ambulance and was taken to the hospital here in San Diego. He's dealt with a lot of health issues, man, but this is a guy who there's one place he wants to be, and that's on that sideline trying to win a football game on Sundays.
And if he can get Jameis Winston right or better, they do have the weapons where they can make some noises.
Yeah. We're going to talk more about Antonio Brown, 7 o'clock. Also, some interesting stuff on Kyler Murray and will he play against the Chargers. Now, the Antonio Brown stuff, a lot to do with fantasy football. Also, same with Ezekiel Elliott. More information on
Hartman, Ornberger, and Schaefer coming up at 3 o'clock today. The fate of Andy Green, is it already sealed? Or is there hope that Andy Green will survive no matter what happens the rest of 2019? We'll discuss on Extra 1360, Fox Sports San Diego, and FM 103.3.
All right. Hey, tomorrow is a big, big day for all of us football fans. Now, we still have to wait August 31st, ways away from Aztecs football, but NFL football preseason begins tomorrow. It's not the regular season.
No.
But we love the draft. If you love the draft, that means that you've got something to watch for the preseason. And, in fact, Kyler Murray will be on Extra 1360 tomorrow night. We have Chargers, Cardinals. We're going to give you the audio of whether or not he's going to play. We'll hear from Cliff Kingsbury. We'll hear from Kyler Murray. We'll hear from Anthony Lynn on whether or not Philip Rivers is going to play. Coming up at 7 o'clock, my fascination with Antonio Brown. What the hell is going on with those feet? We'll talk about that as well. But Chargers, Cardinals tomorrow night on Action 1360. And do not forget as well, we will have the Rams making their 1360 debut.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up on Saturday. They take on the Raiders.
They do take on the Raiders.
Which is cool. We'll get the Hard Knocks of the Raiders and the Rams. They start playing games. Maybe it'll make that.
Having joint practices right now.
Yeah, maybe it'll make it a little bit better than it was last night.
Oh,
can we hear, the audio again? Audio of episode one.
New organic melatonin by ZQL, otherwise known as episode one of Hard Knocks.
Say ZQL?
NyQuil.
You got Zeke on the... ZQL.
I got Zeke on the brain.
It's not a bad saying. ZQL.
He's kind of putting the Cowboys... He's not putting the Cowboys to sleep, but Stephen Jones, the vice president of the Dallas Cowboys, as we get to our training camp whip. That's good enough for me. He talks about, okay, so here's the deal. Zeke, thank you, Fletch.
Fletch went out last night.
He did. Did a little drinking, cigar bar, the whole nine yards. Okay, some NFL experts insisted Zeke Elliott would show up before the August 6th deadline in order to receive what would have been his fourth year of credit towards free agency. It's come and gone. Didn't cave. Next question is, will he return in time to get credit for this year of his contract? Under the Joey Galloway ruling, Elliott would need to be available for the final eight games of the year in order to ensure that he gets credit for the contract year. Cowboys Vice President Stephen Jones on the situation with running back and the running back's contracts.
I still think that's within realm. At the same time, I think the market reset with Le'Veon. You know, I think you see what happens with Gurley, how tenuous it is, and then you get a great player like Le'Veon who's every bit as well thought of as Gurley, and he had unfettered free agency. He had 32 teams with no draft picks attached, and the market was 13.5, less than Gurley. So at the end of the day, business changes, and we certainly pay attention to that as well.
Do you guys think Zeke would really miss games?
I don't know. I mean, you'd have to ask Zeke and his representation. I mean, our goals are to get deals done.
This Whoa. Is fun. Like this.
Was the bar just lowered?
According to the Cowboys, the problem is that's not according to Ezekiel Elliott.
No.
So this is what's happening. Ezekiel Elliott saying, if I'm going to be the highest paid running back, I need to make more than Todd Gurley.
Yes.
And then the Cowboys are saying, no. That's not a thing. You are now going to be paid as Le'Veon Bell. You will top Le'Veon Bell. You will not top Todd Gurley. I'm with Zeke on this. It's like,
hey,
don't tell me what highest paid is just because of a timeline.
Well, right? don't move That's the goalpost back on me. And again, you're a running back. Get as much friggin' money as you can.
Because Zeke's younger than Le'Veon Bell and also didn't take a year off.
Right. And has done everything this football off the field
problems.
No,
not everything.
But
I side with the Cowboys. It's like you've been suspended and still are out throwing security guards around in the offseason.
No, when he's on the field, though, he is the most dynamic running back
in
the NFL.
But if he misses six games, you can't go, you've done everything we've asked.
Two of the last three seasons, Zeke has led the league in rushing. And last year, second half of the season, he was on pace with Christian McCaffrey in the receiving game.
What about the first half of the season?
No, he has his off-the-field problems. And I'm sure the Cowboys are going to use that with him when it gets down to brass tacks, saying, all right, you have to admit, a little bit of a risk. You are not a lock that everything's just going to be rosy from this point on.
I pay him. He's the most important person on that team.
You kind of feel like you're definitely not splitting hairs, but 13.5 versus what was Gurley? 14 plus? So a little over $1 million a year?
Yeah, the bar was just lowered by the Cowboys, Zeke. You enjoy Cabo.
I think the biggest decision they're going to have to make is how good or great do they think Dak Prescott is? Because when you think your franchise quarterback is a game manager, then you better pay the best player on your team, and that's a running back who we know makes quarterbacks better.
And you have to look at how their wins come. It's not by scoring bunches of points. It's out getting out to a lead and then handing the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott and burning clock.
6 yards at a time, 30 seconds off the clock.
The Panthers are going to play it safe with linebacker Luke Kuechly tomorrow night, the same way that they are with quarterback Cam Newton. But after he was held out of some practice time last week after being caught in a pile, former defensive player of the year said it was important for him to play in the preseason to feel ready. I worry about Luke Kuechly.
From the concussion angle? Yeah.
I can't get that image out of my head of him crying on the field, but more the confusion of where he was and what he was crying about.
Yeah.
That was scary. I mean, the game's scary, but you remove a guy's helmet, and I look into his eyes, and I see his face, and a dude who's one of the toughest dudes in the league looks like that.
Well,
everyone wanted him to retire after
that. The brain is not allowing you to process at that moment what is going on. Mm-hmm. Extremely scary. One more. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers voiced his displeasure with joint practices with the Texans. It got chippy the last couple of days. Green Bay had two players go out because overzealous hits by Houston. And he also is questioning them having live kickoff and kick return drills with the Texans. And he was quoted as saying, "I'm sure that's something the NFL Players Association is going to want to take a closer look at." Kind of throwing his own team under the bus. Like, don't bring light to it. Let it be found out organically, but don't suddenly have the NFL offices calling you guys or the Players Association calling the team because of what you said. That's our NFL whip training camp for today. Okay, the Cardinals play their first preseason game tomorrow night. Will rookie quarterback, number one overall pick, Kyler Murray play? And the bigger question is, should he? We'll get to that.